New music from artists we're watching, Saint Punk, Vulture and Cold War. Plus, fresh releases from the likes of EDX, Oliver Heldens, Nitty Gritty and others. We then talk about hashtag ban sunburn, whether openers should bang out their set, and so much more on this week's episode of Beyond the Beats. Let's get it. What's up, EDM champions? It is so great to be back streaming into whatever streaming device that you are listening to currently. This is Beyond the Beats, a podcast about EDM news and culture. For those of you that don't know us, my name is Alec Prieto and I'm out here in the Bay Area, San Francisco, and I've got my best pal, my co-host, Samir Singhal over in New York City. Samir, how are you doing this week?
What's up, guys? What's up, Alec, dude? Oh, I'm feeling good right now, man. I'm feeling good. A little bit sad, though, at the same time, just because, you know, this is our last episode before we take our season break.
And
we will be returning in mid-January, so more details to come on that. Guys, don't forget to, you know, check us out on the socials. On Instagram, we're at btb.pod. On Twitter, we're at podbtb. And then, of course, you can find us on Facebook as well. You know, just kind of staying up to date with what the podcast is up to, some of the things that we're working on, and just some cool things that Alec and I are doing, you know, outside the podcast as well. Alec, how you doing, dude?
Oh, I'm doing well, man. I mean, speaking of doing a lot, I just moved into a brand new apartment, which is great. Currently, I am recording in our non-put-together living room / bedroom because it is a studio, so there's just stuff piled everywhere. So I'm trying not to have an OCD attack right now. However, aside from that, it's doing great. I'm doing great, man. It's really good. Really great to be here. And you know, I know that we'll get into this later, but you had a pretty fun weekend too, right?
Yeah, I had a great weekend, man. I mean, I was out and about. You know, I saw Chris Lake in Brooklyn, and that was just so much fun. But yeah, we could talk about that in just a little bit, dude, because man, you're taking the on repeat, and let me tell you, man, what a way to kick off the show, dude. I love it.
Yes, indeed. We're going back. It's a bit of a throwback. This is a classic Alesso. So my on repeat for this week is Alesso's Falling. Take a listen and enjoy.
Right here, right now is all we need. Relax your mind and set it free. Be all you got, be all I see. The way you move, the way you feel. Look at me, I'm falling, falling. Feeling like I'm love blind, taking over my mind. Look at me, I'm falling, falling. Feeling like I'm love blind, taking over my mind. Look at me.
This is so great. Like last week, I did Alesso with this song in the middle. This week, you're doing Alesso with this song Falling.
We're just feeling him.
I'm telling you, man, he has just had a tremendous career, like we talked about on last week's episode. And I just have nothing else to say but high praise for him, man. I love Alesso. I think he's fantastic.
I couldn't agree more, man. It's funny because Vicky is actually the one that put this back on my radar. And it's just been so long since I've heard this, but we've been playing it out. This is such a tune, you know. We've been playing it out as we were moving. Exactly, man. You gotta use the proper terminology. Yeah. Exactly. Nice one, brother. You know,
you're a fucking chin, mate.
Exactly, just like that. But it's a great track, and you know, I feel like this has inspired quite a lot of producers. You know, Especially with the vocals, just fantastic. Anyhow, before we digress too much on that, let's quickly go over what we're going to talk about this week. As I said at the top in the hook, we've got new music from the artists we're watching, Saint Punk, Vulture, Cold War teaming up with One True God as well. We'll dig into those. Plus, in our new music section, we're going to go over EDX, Oliver Heldens, Nitty Gritty and OK, Dr. Fresh and Bijou, and Feed Me and Yozy. Then diving into the news and culture section, we've got three awesome topics to discuss with everyone today. We've got, should DJs be banging out their opening set? Carnage thinks so. We'll delve into that. Then there's this weird thing that's trending over in India. I'm sure Samir's got some interesting thoughts on this. It's hashtag ban sunburn. Can you ban it? We'll see. We'll have to tell. Then we've also got a very interesting story of the Justice Department is preparing legal action against Live Nation. This is a pretty big deal for all the people that are interested in the business side of things. More to come on that. Then Samir and I are going to be tag teaming this week's anti-plur moment. Then diving into our last two sections, we've got the What Are We Listening To section. For those of you that don't know, this is where we will rate and review two tracks or two albums that we select every week. So this week we're going to talk about Skrillex, Boyzner's $TY$ Midnight Hour, but wait, not the original, Four Tets remix. There's a cool backstory to that, which I'm sure Samir and I will go into too. It's a really nice backstory. Then we're also going to go over Diplo and Side Piece, which is Nitty Gritty and Party Favor, for more of the house style. On My Mind, we'll review that track as well. Finally, this is the epitome of the Beyond the Beats podcast episodes. We've got the artists we're watching section. We won't ruin it for you here, but we've got two fantastic DJ slash groups that we're gonna go over. Right, back to the top. New music from artists we're watching, Saint Punk 911 featuring Jay. What do you think about this, man?
Dude, I had to pull out my phone and call 911. I had to call 911.
I hope, like, you didn't.
Hello, sir, what is your emergency? I said, hey, I've fallen and I can't get up because Saint Punk just released a banging tune called 911 featuring Jay. Dude, when this shit dropped, this one really hit me straight up in the face, man. This is some great G house from Saint Punk. You know, Alec, I don't know if you remember, but I'm the one who actually featured him as an artist that we're watching on the show. And the reason why I featured him is because I saw him close out a show at the Brooklyn Mirage where Chami Mala did their No Redemption
set. Right.
After that was Saint Punk just absolutely murdering it at the venue, dude. So you know what? This is a fantastic track from Saint Punk, but I want to get this in front of our listeners right now because they need to hear this. Guys, turn up the volume. This is Saint Punk's song 911. Check it out. 911. That's urgent. 911. She texts 911, that's urgent, say.
It's an amazing track, man. It's really cool to see the development of Saint Punk. This is a song that makes you want to call 911 and say, what is going on here? This is just a fantastic track. Everybody, I hope if you enjoy that, please go follow him. He's doing big, big things. Lots of moves going on. So glad that you put this on, Samir. So thank you for that.
He's an absolute mad lad.
Right. We've also got Vulture. This is also one of your picks, I believe.
Yes. Yes, it is, dude. Oh, I love Vulture, man. They're so mysterious. They're so mysterious. But this new song, ISO Beam, I don't know what ISO stands for, but I know it has something to do with photography. I don't know if you know that. Now you know. ISO Beam, dude. Fantastic, fantastic track. Like I said, man, I feel like these guys do a really nice job of mixing in, like, trance sounds into mid-tempo. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like there's no other group that does it as well as Vulture does. And that's why I had to feature them on the show for, an artist that we're watching, because these guys just absolutely killed it. But you know what? Again, we got to let our listeners hear this one, man. Guys, this is Vulture's song, ISO Beam. Take a listen. Get ready for it. Thank you.
This is a hell of a track, honestly.
Crazy track, dude.
Crazy track. You know,
I know.
Yeah.
Speechless over there. You're speechless over there.
Yeah, it is right there in the speechless level, honestly. It's just it's we talk about it a lot, but the creativity, the depth to the song, it's amazing. And I like how you described it. What'd you say? It was a cross between mid tempo and
trance.
Yeah, I can 100% see that.
Trance
tempo. Yeah. There you go. We're making up
mid-trance.
Our own mid. Oh, dude!
I like mid trance. That actually sounds pretty dope.
Mid trance. Okay, we are. That is an official Beyond the Beats
subgenre. We're pioneering it over here.
We're pioneering it over here. Vulture can use it for free, but anyone else, I don't know.
There you go, dude. Let's cap this off. We got one more track, man.
Cold War and One True God with Salvation. Have you found salvation?
As soon as this song came on, man, you know, I had to raise my hands up towards the sky and say, you know what, Cold Wall, you've done it again. You've done it again. Love him, man. I love Joey. He's such a great guy. We've had him on the show for an artist spotlight. Teaming up with One True God for this song, Salvation. Dude, this was a match made in heaven. This song absolutely slapped.
It did. It really did, man. And this is a song that just you want to just, if you're listening to it on some high quality, high fidelity earbuds or headphones, whatever you've got, you just want to put your hands up and just be like, take me to salvation. What
there
a fantastic
go,
track. This is it. If you like mid-tempo, if you like kind of... He does a little bit more than... I don't want to say mid-tempo. How do you describe Cold War sound?
I don't know, man.
It's Cold
I don't
War.
Know.
Hashtag Cold
it's
War.
It's Cold War sound. He's corrupting minds out here.
It is.
Absolutely.
It is definitely a corruption of minds going on. So please check him out. And as Samir mentioned, go back and check out the artist spotlight we did with him. I'll put it into the show notes so you have an easy, quick link to that. We had a fantastic chat. Really, really deep guy. Definitely should check that out.
He's a fantastic guy. Yeah.
Great guy. Right. Moving onwards, we've got new music to talk about. Let's start off with EDX. Voltaic? Is that how you say
it? Voltaic? I don't know, man.
Voltaic, it's something funky going on here, but this was a pretty good track. I liked it. How about you?
It's a little bit different from what he's usually releasing. So I was like really shocked when I heard this track, man, but I really like this a lot. You know, EDX is known for like more of that daytime sort of house music, you know what I mean? Like very light, very nice feeling, a little bit airy, if you guys know what I'm saying. But still house music, still got great kicks, and of course, great percussion. EDX, I feel like, is just a mastermind, man. But he's going a little bit darker with this new song, Voltaic. Is this a new direction for EDX? Alex,
yes.
What do you think?
It definitely is, because remember, I went and saw him...
like 3 weeks ago, yeah.
Longer than that. It's been longer than that,
damn.
I think. Yeah, I know, time has been flying by. Anyhow, I can't remember, but he came to San Francisco and I saw him. He played, you know, I was a little bit hesitant to go see him because, you know, I had that image of him being the summer house, tropical house, lighter house, at least type of vibe. And he was playing at night in audio, which is, it's just a nighttime vibe. So I wasn't really sure how he would do it. And he pulled it off pretty well. Right.
Nice.
And I think, you know, I'm not going to lie, I do prefer more of his lighter stuff. And maybe he's just trying to, you know, tack into this new direction of that darker house sound. But this track, I do believe I heard him play and I did enjoy it. So
nice.
I think he is transitioning a little bit over, maybe just trying something new. Right. It might open up. I don't know. I mean, he's just done so much with his career. It's hard for him to see what other directions he can go because he's done, you know, everything basically. So I think this new direction for him in terms of this house sound is it's nice, and I'm excited to see what can come out of it.
Thank you for that insight. I'm really pumped up that you got to hear this song live. I think that's dope.
The depth is brought out a little bit more when it's played on louder speakers. You can definitely
hear
it.
Of course, dude, let's move into it, man. Fan favorite, our favorite over here, Oliver Heldens, brand new song, Aquarius. Dude, this man can do no wrong. I tell you that right now. Oliver Heldens, he can never do any wrong. It's a shame. He's going to be out here in New York in just like a week and a half, but I'm not going to be around to see him. I was really bummed up. I was really bummed out about that, man. Damn. A lot of good shows happening while I'm away on vacation, but that's okay.
Yeah, I'm wondering who in particular.
We don't need to go back
there.
What's
going on?
Eric Prydz, why'd you have to do this to me, man? I'm still right. Go ahead, man. Give me your thoughts on Aquarius. What'd you think?
I liked it, man. He, as you said, he could do no wrong. Oliver Heldens has got, you know, he's a quirky, eccentric guy, and I feel like that eclectic style. See, there's that word again, eclectic style.
You love that
and
word.
Vibe. I love it. It's an amazing bloody word. It should come back more often. But that eclectic, eclectic vibe is really taking place here in the song Aquarius. You can just hear it throughout. It's interesting. I can't really put my finger on what it is, but it's different, right? Like, it's just, it's got this just great vibe to it. That's this. I don't know. I'm running out of words to describe it. I think it's better if people just go and listen to it, because I can't really describe what's going on here. But maybe you can give it a shot. I like it, though. Whatever it is, I like it.
You know, man, I'm at a loss of words here as well. But this is just Oliver Heldens coming back, showing that his creativity knows no bounds, especially when it comes to house music and his eclectic sound.
There you go. You should use that more. Expand your vocabulary, Samir.
Oh, yes. Of course. I will definitely work on that, man.
Thank you.
Here we go. Nitty Gritty, teaming up with OK.
Okay.
It's a song called Okay. Is it Okay or Okay?
I don't know. It's Okay. Like Lil
Okay.
John.
Little, yeah, I love it, dude. I don't know. The accent, what do you say?
Yeah,
really
I don't think it really
right
worked that one.
Team it up, though. You got Nitty Gritty, you got Okay with the song Loco. Dude, this song is Loco. And I'll be completely honest with you. I'm not the biggest Okay fan. But this song actually really took me by surprise. I was like, you know, I was drinking my morning coffee. I was like getting settled into the day. And then I turned this song on and I was like ready to get after it, dude. This is a great, you know, we got some more bass music, some shit that you can headbang to. Nitty Gritty's returning back to this harder sound. I love it. Alec, what'd you think?
Yeah, I did too, man. And I you know, it's... What's that one song from UK that blew up with the trumpets, right?
Yeah, no, I know what you're talking about.
Thief.
A thief in the night. Yeah great. Right? It's a very catchy song.
It's a great song, but I would agree with you, man. I mean, aside from that particular track, I'm not a huge fan of his solos, but what I have noticed is that actually when he teams up with people, he brings a certain element to it that really improves the song as if it were on its own. Like, you can hear his influence on it. So I actually like it when UK collabs with other people. And I think Nitty Gritty and UK, I think they might have done a back-to-back together at some point.
Not sure. There might
be some type of relationship there. I don't know. I feel like I saw something on social media. Please fact-check me on this, people. I'm not sure about this. But Nitty Gritty and UK, this song was Loco. I really enjoyed it, and you know, it's good to see Nitty Gritty going back to a little bit of the harder stuff now.
Completely agree, and I think it's just a great direction. I'm really looking forward to seeing what 2020 brings for Nitty Gritty and Okay. Dude, let's move on to this next track here, right? We got Dr. Fresh, we got Bijou teaming up for the song Get Back. Alec, I'm gonna toss this one over to you. What'd you think?
I liked it. I definitely liked it. I mean, these two, first of all, I think in context I like this song a little bit more, I think, because they've got such a bromance going on. Have you seen
it? Oh, I know. I know. These guys are so great, dude.
they are in love with each other. I mean, they have got such a bromance going on. But, you know, it's a good track. I thought this is a good G-House track. We're both big fans of Bijou and Dr. Fresh. And Dr. Fresh is highly recommend the Prescription Radio. If anyone is looking for something, definitely check it out on SoundCloud or go to 1001 track lists. If you want to hear all of the up and coming bass house and G house, Dr. Fresh plays it on that radio. Anyhow, I thought this was a good song. I was a little bit disappointed with it. It just didn't quite hit differently for me. You know what I mean?
Oh, this should be hitting different.
Right.
Yeah, no, Alec.
You know what I'm saying, right? You get what I'm saying
here.
Yeah,
this shit did not be hitting different for me, man. I wasn't that big of a fan of the song. I'll be completely honest with you. Yeah. I don't know what it was, but maybe it's the vocal sample in it. It just felt a little bit too repetitive.
I agree.
Listeners at home are probably like, but Samir, house music is repetitive. Yes. I know it's repetitive, okay? But that doesn't mean that
it could
like,
be repetitive
little elements
in a good way.
Exactly. And that doesn't mean that, you know, little elements can't be added in here or taken out there or altered here or altered there to keep the song interesting. Like, I felt like there was just way too much repetition in this song, which is why I just was not a fan of this one. But you know what? Still have a lot of respect for Dr. Fresh and Bijou. Really do enjoy them and their bromance and their singles and their music that they put out. So yeah, this is just a track that just didn't hit for me.
No, I agree with you, man. But not every track can, and you know, we're still humongous biggest fans of them both. So hopefully they can team up, do some more collabs soon. Right. No doubt. Last one for this section, Feed Me and Yozy. Do you know Yozy? I'm not sure.
I do not know Yozy. No. Alec, do you know Yozy?
No, I don't. Does anyone? Who's Yozy?
No, I'll look her up. Maybe I'll look her up on like LinkedIn or something. Trying to find out who Yozy is. New song from
you
them.
Love LinkedIn.
I love LinkedIn. It you love right. LinkedIn. You're always posting on LinkedIn. Shut up, man. I'm over there liking all your shit. Anyways,
thank you. I appreciate it, brother.
Of course. Guys, connect with us. Endorse our skills. Anyways, we got this song, Little Space, right, from Feed Me and Yozy. Dude. You know, I was really kind of into this song a lot. I thought that the vibe that Feed Me had put together here, the production was very clean, was awesome. I thought Yossi's lyrics on this track were great as well. I honestly, the whole thing from beginning to end, I was really into. Alec, what'd you think?
I agree, man. I mean, and just quick question for you, because I know we've talked about this on a prior episode or a couple of episodes. Do you think this is part of Feed Me's new direction?
Definitely, dude.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
And how are you liking this new direction? Because I know that you were, because I was never a huge Feed Me fan, not because of the fact that I've always liked the tracks, but I just wasn't really that aware of Feed Me. So I wish I was a little bit more. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why. I just never really listened too much to Feed Me. However, this is, you know, I've seen it pop up a little bit more, and I could definitely tell there's a direction shift here. And I know that you have particularly listened to Feed Me a little bit more than I have. So what's your perspective on this shift in direction? Do you like it?
I do like it. I think his sound is starting to become a little bit more relaxed and more chilled out as compared to what he used to do. I do miss his old sound, but also, like, artists develop, artists change, and they change the music that they want to put out. They don't want to be consistently, like, kind of pigeonholed to one specific sound or specific genre. And so while his new album, High Street Creeps, wasn't necessarily, like, one of my favorite releases of his, I can still, like, respect what he's doing. And I really actually like this song, Little Space, a lot. I think this is, like, a nice way to introduce his new take on the Feed Me brand to his listeners.
No, I agree, because I do like this song individually too. And just for some context, how would you describe, you know, for people who don't know Feed Me, how would you describe his old sound?
Oh, his old sound, I would definitely say it's like electro house.
It's like electro house, right? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
there you
absolutely.
Go. So if you're into electro house, check out old Feed Me, but also check out new Feed Me for some lighter things. There
definitely.
We go. All right. Perfect. Awesome.
Dude, love it, man. What great pieces of music here. I'm feeling really pumped up, really, really energetic right now, and I'm really excited.
I can tell.
And I'm really excited to jump into these news and culture section topics that we got here, man.
Yes, and let's do it with no other than, what's his name? What's his nickname? Samir Gordo Poppy.
Is it Poppy Chulo?
Poppy Gordo.
Poppy Gordo. Who's Poppy Chulo? Somebody's Poppy Chulo.
No, the Poppy Chulo is a saying.
Oh, shit. My bad.
Okay. Whew. All right.
I might
awesome.
Cut that from the episode.
Why? That was great. That was gold.
Shut up. Anyway, we're all Poppy Chulos out here. Anyways, guys, let's talk about Carnage, right?
Poppy
so
Gordo.
DJ Carnage basically put out a tweet, and let me read the tweet here, right? So it says, "Openers should always bang it out. If the headline DJ gets mad at you, it just shows that they are insecure. That one opening slot might be in front of an important agent or promoter. Give it your all. It could make or break you." So that is the advice that Carnage had put out to the Twitter sphere, to EDM Twitter. Got about 608 retweets, 3.8K likes. So pretty big reach. I don't know if this is necessarily the best advice to be giving people, though.
Yeah, I mean, as Litty Kitty said, this is awful advice, LOL. And
Litty Kitty.
Yeah, I mean, and we'll read into this. So Litty Kitty is Hex Cougar, I believe.
Yeah.
It's like Hex Cougar, right? And then you can see all these tweets on this article from EDN.com that we'll put in the show notes. But said, "This is awful advice, LOL. When the opening DJ plays an all rhythm set at 9, it fucks up the energy buildup / flow of a show, no matter how good the headliner is. Also, contrary to popular belief, you can play a fun / energetic set without dropping a million trap / dubstep bangers." I 100,000,000% agree with him on this one, because there is a certain vibe, right? All DJs know this, right? That whenever you're in a club, there is an energy flow. I mean, it sounds really hippie to talk about, but there genuinely is. You can feel it. Now, as you might, as a listener, might be able to sense it a little bit, right? But what you probably sense is the more climactic energy that happens when the headliner comes on, right? You're like, wow, this is amazing. This feels so much more energetic than before. Now, that could be, yes, in part, that's because the headliner is, you know, having a fantastic set. But what you don't take into account, that energy is all the built-up energy that has occurred throughout the entire night from the headliner, from the openers, sorry, where the openers are slowly building it up so that the headliner can have this climactic effect on the atmosphere in the club, right? So, or the festival stage. So it's a very, very difficult thing to do. And I don't think people really appreciate it, right? Because, you know, I've been to some shows where the openers haven't done the best job of making sure the crowd has enough energy for the headliner. And so when the headliner comes on, it just doesn't quite hit the same, right? Especially if you've been there and you've watched some of the other openers too. And I just can't tell you, just like, I'm just putting myself in the DJ shoes. If I came up and, you know, and I had a great set planned out and someone, you know, I'm like a house DJ and someone's dropping trap before, it just completely ruins.
Well, then at that point,
vibe.
I think that's just like a poor booking on like the venue
true.
Or the promoter side. You know what I mean?
That's true. But I mean, I was just using some hyperbole there just to show if you're using these huge build ups.
You're being hyperbolic.
I'm being hyperbolic. Look at you expanding vocabulary on the show.
Hyperbolic.
There you go.
Well,
we've got notes down. No, I'm pretty much done with it. But it's just saying that you have to. I understand what Carnage is saying is that, you know, if you've got to make your impact, right? But any good booking agent is gonna know that you are a very good DJ if you're able to cultivate that vibe for the headliner. They're gonna know, and you're gonna get your shot. Moreover, you're probably gonna get more bookings at clubs. And people, right? Because we've talked about the whole scene. It's like the club owners and people like that, as well as the, you know, the promoters on, they're not going to like it if you screw up the vibe for the headliner, right? Like maybe some agent would be like, oh, your set was sick. But flip side of that is you're starting to piss off some connections that could be really important for you in your career. Regardless of what genre you're in, you have to be able to build up the energy nicely so that the headline can come on and create that climactic energy / atmosphere in the club. That's what your job is.
Yeah.
And you will get the chance if you do that well enough. If you're able to, because people know this in the industry, if you're able to create a fantastic atmosphere, a fun, really fun vibe, right, without dropping all of the, you know, the bangers that you could, then they're going to appreciate that. And then you will get your shot.
Alec, I'm right there with you, man. There is a certain flow that occurs when a night happens, right? So let me just give a perfect example here. I was just at Chris Lake just this past, actually this weekend, and he was playing at Brooklyn Steel. And before Chris Lake went on was our friend Aki. What up, dude? That was amazing. And before Aki was Ashlyn from Heartbeats. So unfortunately, I did not get a chance to catch Ashlyn's set because the traffic in Manhattan was crazy. I did get a chance to catch Aki's set.
Hell yeah.
And dude, like, I tell you what, man, she did a perfect job, as I'm sure Ashlyn did before her. Aki did a perfect job of getting the energy going, getting the tempo going, man. And then as her set progressed, bringing the energy up a little bit, dropping some tracks that are a little bit harder. And then finally, you know what I mean? Right before Chris Lake came on, she brought the energy down just a little bit, just a tiny bit, right? Chris Lake comes on, smacks it, dude. Absolutely smacks
it.
Nice. And you could just tell, dude, the crowd was ready for it, man. Because Ashlyn did a fantastic job. Aki did a fantastic job, and then Chris Lake took it home and drove it home, dude. Like, but if that didn't happen, I think that the crowd would, like, have expended their energy way too early on in the night, where maybe they're not as excited to see the opener, right? Because music has this way of driving people, right? Changing their mood, getting them energized, getting them relaxed, and openers are a big part of that experience when a person goes out to see an artist live. And look, I think Carnage's tweet was well-intentioned, right? I think he was just trying to give advice to folks and say, like, hey, give it your all, you know what I mean? Go out and just absolutely rock the crowd, show some confidence, and have a good time with it. But the advice that he gave wasn't that great. I think it's well-intentioned, but the advice wasn't good.
No, it wasn't. It was just the wrong direction of it. It doesn't mean that you should just go out and play all these bangers and things. It's like, you know, it's an art, it's a craft, it's an art form to be able to open for somebody.
And I love what you said, Alec, that, yeah, like an agent might be really impressed with you, but now you're pissing off a whole host of people that you would be able to network with. And if you didn't you know, all of a sudden come swinging with your tracks, maybe you could have kept those connections or gotten a chance to talk to those people and they would have been more receptive to working with you in the future. You know what I mean? Because in the music industry, in my opinion, it's connections, man. It's connections, it's networking, and it's just really putting your best foot forward. And if you're an opener and just completely dropping absolute bangers, like if it's 8 p.m. and the crowd is already singing along to Save the World by Swedish House Mafia, you're going to have an issue with music industry professionals.
I 100% agree with you. And it's just going to harm you in the long run. And then we also haven't mentioned this. It's also going to harm your relationships with the headliner, right?
I mean, oh, absolutely,
so
dude.
You've got
absolutely.
That too. Another DJ. So there's that bridge that you're potentially burning there. So we would say don't listen to Carnage. However, if there are any other producers, DJs that think differently and they're listening to this show, tweet at us, right? You can tweet us at podbtb or you can DM us on Instagram at btb.pod. All right, I think we have talked this one to death, so let's move onwards. Samir, I'm going to let you take this one away at first because this is an interesting topic. Hashtag ban sunburn is trending in India. What's going on, man? Tell us what's going on over there.
You know, I don't know, man, and it's a shame because sunburn is, if you're an Indian raver, sunburn is like one of the biggest festivals, one of the biggest EDM festivals in India. I mean,
sorry,
it brings
wait,
in
hold on, just for some context, listeners, this is not actually like ban the sunburn on your body. It's a festival.
Yeah. Like Alec gets easily sunburned, and he would love to ban sunburn, but unfortunately, it's just not going to happen.
I would kill for that.
He'd be all over that. He'd be the one leading the petition.
Oh my god! Like, I was about.
Hey,
to
can you sign this? Can you sign that? Knocking on doors. So Sunburn is a major festival in India, and it's probably one of the biggest EDM festivals in Asia, right? And it has brought in some of the biggest names that we all know and love. We got the Chainsmokers. Not my personal favorites, but that's fine. The Chainsmokers, we got Flume, we got Martin Garrix. So all these people have been at Sunburn before. And let me tell you guys something. The people of India, they love these names. They love the big names. And EDM is really growing there. Let's take a look at Ultra. So Ultra threw an Ultra Worldwide event in India. They did one in Mumbai. And then also EDC had a EDC India in New Delhi in 2016. And unfortunately, EDC India did not come back. I'm not too sure about Ultra India. But now, you know, Sunburn seems to be under fire. So it used to take place in Goa, and then it moved to Pune in India, which is about 300 miles away from Goa. And now it's under fire again. But I believe that the folks who are really targeting and starting this hashtag of hashtag ban sunburn are, they're not the crowd that's going to be at that festival. That's what it is. Like, just imagine, like, it's your mother or it's your father or, like, your great aunt or something, and they're, like, on Twitter and they see, like, kids in, you know, neon gear and they hear this music that they don't like and they're like, ban this right now. That's basically the folks who are leading the charge on this hashtag. And what they're citing here is that events like this, they bring in unruly behavior and drug use. So I'm looking at a tweet that somebody had put out. It's in Hindi, but you know, there's a picture attached on this tweet where, you know, you see some folks at a concert, and then right underneath that is some guy snorting a line of some white powder substance. You see the tweet that I'm talking about, Ali?
It's slightly racist, but that's okay. It's slightly racist because the caption has Western music and then it's a white guy doing drugs. So, okay.
This is the kind of propaganda that is kind of being propagated here in the hashtag ban sunburn hashtag that's been trending in India. But let's look at this, right? Let's look at this from a higher level. EDC India hasn't been back, and that's a shame. And now if we lose sunburn as well in India, the growth of the EDM market there, especially the live experience of EDM there, it's going to dwindle. Because like I said, Sunburn is one of the biggest EDM festivals in India. It's like really considered to be one of the premier festivals. And the fact that it's already moved from Goa, which is an area that's known to host vacationers, to Pune, which is still also a really nice city, and now it's under fire again, it really is concerning. And we've talked about this with the IMS Ibiza report, that Asia is one of the fastest growing markets for EDM. But if there's constant opposition coming from the public and from folks who don't really understand what this scene is, there could be some issues for EDM growth in India. That's my hot take on that.
What do you think is the on the ground consensus around this? I mean, are more people against it, do you think?
I don't really know.
It's hard to tell.
It's really hard to tell, and unfortunately, like, there's not that many articles right now about hashtag ban sunburn. But, you know, just kind of, as I was browsing through the hashtag, there seems to be a lot more folks talking about actually wanting to ban Sunburn than folks coming to the defense of it within that hashtag, if that makes sense. Like, there's more tweets in this hashtag that are on the opposition against Sunburn rather than tweets that are for having the event take place.
That is an interesting one. We'll have to see and do some more research into it, because I'm not sure. No, go on.
Indian culture is also a little bit more conservative, right? And it's shifting. Like, there's a whole host of young folks like us, you know, millennials and Gen Z that are, you know, really starting to lead the charge and really starting to shape Indian culture and Indian politics and really Indian music and everything. But, you know, you're still going to have the folks who are in those higher levels of power who don't really understand these kinds of events, if that makes sense.
Yeah. No, I do. I do get that. And it's tough because you also want to be cognizant of cultures, right? And just speaking as someone from, you know, third party and Westerner through and through, you do want to be cognizant of different cultures, and you have to understand that some cultures are just different, right? And whether you want to say that's good or bad is not really up to you. It's just, it is different, right? And I do think it's a shame, though, that this has been, the music has, I mean, it's inexorably going to happen, but they've really tied it into culture here, right? Rather than it being an appreciation of a different type of music, they've tied the music into the cultural phenomenon of people going out and partying and getting crazy and stuff. And that happens. I get it. I do. What I would like to see, though, more of is if that's the primary and chief concern, maybe there are ways to mitigate that. Right. And that you could host a festival like this or some other type of major event. I don't know how realistic it is, but I think it's just a shame because it's closing off a certain type of music to a growing audience of people who clearly want it. Right. Like the people who
absolutely
who clearly want it. And I think closing it off is just never really a good thing. Right. So I don't know. It's not too much my place to say because I can understand some of the concerns, and I understand that, you know, in a culture that's traditionally conservative, to have people going around raving, I understand that's quite a jarring experience probably, right? But in my point would be if the people want it, the people want it, and they're going to get it somehow.
Right. And they're going to have to fight for it. And look, let's keep in mind, like, Alec, I agree with you. Like, we can't really say, like, no, this is bad. This is just how different cultures are in different countries, and this is how different countries react to new things like this. And look, guys, Sunburn and other Indian EDM festivals are not like an EDC Vegas, right? Like, where you got, like, people wearing eccentric outfits and, you know, like, doing crazy stuff. From what I was able to gather from different videos that I've seen from Indian EDM festivals, like, it's pretty tame. You know what I mean? Like, folks wearing jeans and a t-shirt, you know, you don't really see even tank tops on guys all that much, and everybody just having a good time listening to some good music, you know, and that's what it's all about.
So they're just concerned that, are they just looking at, like, an EDC Las Vegas and being like, oh, crap.
That's exactly. Exactly. They're looking at EDC Las Vegas. They're looking at Ultra. They're looking at all of Ultra's after movies and seeing all these wacky kids, you know, doing crazy stuff. And, you know, it could be concerning. You know what I mean? And it could be concerning. And I can understand why, like, you know, folks who are not completely informed about what the culture or what the music is all about might view this material that they see online and say, like, I don't want this.
Right.
This doesn't look healthy.
Yeah. And I think, you know, my rebuttal to that would also be is, you know, that's, you're looking at like EDC Vegas and Ultra. That's pretty American culture, right?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Even the festivals in Europe aren't quite the same, right? And I think that's the thing that people might be failing to take into account is that you have to look at all festivals, you know, in each different area of the globe have different, you know, hidden unspoken rules to them and things like that, right? Whether that's to do with your dress code, to how you act. And in America, it just tends to be a little bit more open and free. Things are just a little bit more out in the open. And one might say that is quite typical of American culture in general. It's rather in your face. I mean, it is. It's that's, you know, that's just how it is. That's how we roll, right? Like, but if you look at some of the European festivals and things, and you know, particularly some of the smaller ones, you know, obviously I'm not saying that there isn't drug usage and things like that, but it's a little bit more on the DL in some ways, right? I would argue. And just the attire that people wear is a little bit more subdued.
Totally.
I think.
Totally, dude.
Right?
Like, really, like when I went to Creamfields, I was shocked. EDM Champions, in case you guys didn't know, Creamfields is a festival in the UK. It's like one of their biggest EDM festivals. So I went there in 2018. And dude, when I went to Creamfields in 2018, I was shocked, man. I couldn't believe it. Like, you know, you don't see like the wacky, crazy outfits that people wear here, like in the US for, you know, American festivals. You know, really the only similarities that I could find between like the UK and US festivals was, you know, people just wearing those big ass clunky fila shoes. You know what I'm talking about? That's it.
Those are the only
similarities.
I guess the temperature has to play into it as well.
Sure. It was
Vegas
was miserable,
is bloody hot. Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, it's kind of cold up there in Manchester, but it's interesting. And I think, to be honest, actually, Samir, it's funny. I think some of that culture is, you know, American culture has this weird kind of delayed effect on British culture and European culture in a way. Yeah, there is an influence to an extent, right? Like the UK does retain some of its thing, but the US really is a driving force in electronic music right now. So I think what's interesting is to see how that will affect electronic music across the globe, you know, from a cultural perspective too. We'll have to see. I don't know. I mean, this is obviously too early to tell, but it's very interesting. And I think getting back to the whole sunburn thing in India, I think probably you need maybe some more pro sunburn propaganda out there, I guess. Like maybe talking, you know, showing people it's like, you know, this is what the average person that attends sunburn looks like, right? It's not EDC Vegas. It's
exactly, dude.
And I don't know. I think to be perfectly honest, man, this might, you know, it might not work right now, but again, if the people are into something, it's gonna happen eventually. Like it's just it will. By force of economics and by force of nature, it will happen.
Right. And you know what, guys? It's happening in two weeks. It starts on December 27th, and then it goes until the 29th. So you know what, fellow Indian ravers out there? I hope you guys have a good time. And you know what, guys? EDM Champions, we want to hear from you guys as well. Like, what are your thoughts on this? What could Sunburn be doing to maybe have better relationships with the local area that it's in? Because, you know, we've seen local areas turn against festivals. I mean, come on. We saw it with Ultra.
Oh, yes.
Right? Ultra, one of the biggest electronic music festivals in the world, had to relocate due to just the public hating it. Just they were absolutely fed up with it. So, you know, I think that this we're really in this time right now where festival organizers and promoters need to be doing a better job of making sure that the relationships that they have with their local community are strong and positive.
Yeah. I love that. I mean, that's something that's a great advice, man. That's exactly what they've got to do, is, you know, have some type of community outreach program.
Cool, dude. I'm really glad that we got a chance to talk about that. I really always enjoy, like, you know, talking about EDM and electronic music culture in different countries. Like, I always just find it so fascinating. You know what I mean? And
totally.
Sunburn has always been a festival that's been on my radar because, you know, when I go to India, I usually tend to go in the wintertime. So it's something that I've always thought about going to when I'm in India. So who knows? Maybe I'll make it happen for next year.
Hell yeah, man. Let's see.
Dude, let's move into it, man. All right, this one I was really pumped up about, okay?
Take it away.
The Justice Department is preparing legal action against Live Nation, and this comes after the Live Nation and Ticketmaster merger. This is really interesting stuff. Dude, you know, one of the things that really shocked me about this article was this little excerpt right here. All right, you ready for this?
Yeah, go ahead.
Says here, the fact that Ticketmaster now controls 80% of the market and ticket prices are up on average by 50% since 2009 to an average ticket price of $92.42.
That's unbelievable.
So basically, it's interesting. There are these four representatives from various states here in the U.S. You know, you got Ken Buck from Colorado, Matt Gaetz from Florida, Lucy McBath from Georgia, and James Sensenbrenner from Wisconsin. And they're basically providing evidence to the House and saying, like, this is what Ticketmaster and Live Nation are doing. They basically have cornered the live entertainment space. They're jacking up the prices, and you know, they think that they have a monopoly here.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I definitely think this is a good catch from legislatures. I think looking at this, you can just tell. I mean, the deal is what probably it's worth. I think I saw stat around $2.5 billion.
Jesus,
in this deal.
Crazy.
I mean, it's a lot of money. You know, for the music industry, it's a hell of a lot of money. The thing is here, it's like, this is such an obvious thing to flag. I mean, the fact that Live Nation could just force venues to book, have people book through Ticketmaster, right? Instead of using another ticketing competitor, right? Forcing the promoters to go through Ticketmaster. I mean, that's such a clear violation there. It's like,
I know.
I mean, and Ticketmaster's big enough as it is, right? It's insane to think about that they thought that they could probably get away with this business practice that is just forcing people to choose one. So, there's some hypocrisy here. I mean, you know, we're all Apple users and things. I mean, you know, tech has got its own problem with that too. Right. Let's be perfectly honest. Well, an interesting one, speaking of the computer one, I think it was Microsoft. They got a slap on the wrist, and this is why Chrome became a thing, because they would only allow people to use Internet Explorer on the devices. Yep. Then they got a big slap on the wrist for that, and that basically gave Chrome the only gap it needed to become the number one web browser. So I think this is kind of like a similar situation there, where they're like, okay, you're looking to go to the Live Nation show, but okay, the venues that got to book these people, you got to go through Ticketmaster. It's like, you got to use this one service. It's your equivalent of just using Internet Explorer, as it were. I think it's a pretty horrible analogy there in hindsight, but the merger went through, correct? Like, this is the merger.
Yeah, the merger went through.
Why did it go through? Like, were they not thinking, what do they think the agreement would be about?
We can get political here, and we can start, saying that, oh, like, I'm sure, like, the lobbies, were really had the big hand here in trying to push this deal through, and saying, like, oh, we'll make sure, like, people can use other ticket vending websites besides Ticketmaster. But then, as it states here in this article, that if a venue chooses to use a different ticket selling platform besides Ticketmaster, then they are retaliated against, which is crazy.
Well, I mean, I guess so. Actually, looking back at this for some more context, they did reach that was part of the agreement, I guess, that was reached with the government back in 2010, right? That they weren't supposed to do this, but just because of Ticketmaster's prominence in the market, they are essentially bypassing that agreement, right? Like, because they control so much of the market, they are essentially forcing people to use Ticketmaster, right? That's kind of the argument here, and I think there's some validity to it. I mean, I understand.
I agree, dude.
I can understand, though, where people might be like, well, back in 2010, Ticketmaster didn't have so much of a chokehold on the market. How were they supposed to predict? But you look at the flip side; it doesn't really matter. It's the fact that they do have such a large grip on the market, and that this does in effect bypass that agreement and violate that agreement and essentially force people to go through Ticketmaster for Live Nation shows. I think the intention does not matter so much as the effect and the actual consequence, right? The reality is that they do have a hold on the market, which does force people to go through Ticketmaster, right? And they have no other choice but that. So I think there is validity here, and I'm interested to see what's going to happen with this.
Me too. Yeah, we'll definitely keep everybody updated on this, man. It's just, the thing is, I just cannot get over that the average cost of tickets are up by 50% since 2009 to $92.42. Like, I don't know, man. Looking at that number really just, it freaked me out, because I'm thinking to myself, like, okay, if I didn't go to all these shows, I could probably retire right now.
Well, I think this is including non-EDM shows, because EDM shows do tend to be a little bit cheaper.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, it absolutely is. Like, they're putting a bunch of artists into this bucket, right? So we're talking about, like, Ariana Grande selling out massive stadiums, and then I'm sure, like, artists playing at some of the biggest EDM, venues and clubs, like, in your local city. You know what I mean? So, they're putting in a bunch of different genres into this, but it's craziness, man. It's craziness. And I'm really hoping that what comes out of this decision by the government, I hope it results in some, some competition in the ticket selling space.
Well, exactly. And just, I guess, just to circle around, because I think we haven't done too good of a job of really diving to what the core problem is here. The core problem is that since they control the market, what Ticketmaster is doing, they have the ability to raise the prices, right? So that's what that statistic is coming from, is showing that they control 80% of the ticketing market, right? Then you look at the increase in costs. What's driving that increase in cost is not necessarily the fact that in a vacuum, the cost of attending a live concert is increasing, right? Like, are the artists charging more? When you account for inflation and all that, it probably does not equal the exponential growth that's happened. What it means is there's some alternative factors, such as Ticketmaster choking the market and deciding to move it more, expensively, right? And then you look at someone like Live Nation, who has another big chunk of the market for you know, putting on, you know, big shows with big name artists and things. So it just looks like you've got these two bad actors in cahoots to basically drive up prices and then make sure that no one really has any alternatives to buying tickets to these live events through other competitors who might have a lower ticketing price. That's essentially the issue here, is that they're working together to exclude all types of competitors so that they can drive up prices and maintain control over the bookings and make sure that they're bringing in all that extra revenue from driving up that price. That's essentially,
dude,
yeah.
That was great.
Oh, hopefully. That was, I feel like I bumbled through that, but.
No, you're good, man.
There's some complexities with it. There are some complexities to it, you know, because it's not explicit. It's not explicit. Yeah. That's the problem, is that it's not explicitly violating, you know, I'm not a legal expert, but it doesn't seem to be explicitly violating the agreement. It seems to be one of those where it's like de facto violating it, right? You're going around it.
Right.
So this is good. This has got me some energy for this next section.
What are we about to do, Alec? What are we about
to do? We are about to go off on nightclubs, right? What's going on, you nasty nightclub owners, with people that you just don't get it. I don't understand it. How can you just, I don't get it. I don't get you people. What's going on? You people, zero organization and communication, running a nightclub. What are you doing? Samir, we've had some pretty bad experiences with this, but I'll let you kick it off since yours is a little bit more recent, probably touching on a sore nerve here, my friend. Oh, so go ahead.
Oh my God, dude. Alec, let me begin to tell you, right? So I did mention earlier in the show that I got to see Chris Lake in Brooklyn at the Brooklyn Steel. Fantastic show. Of course, he always throws it down. Fantastic set. And you know what? I had tickets to go to the after parties as well at a venue in Brooklyn, right? So, you know, I'm in the Uber with a bunch of my friends. Guys, keep in mind, it is pouring out. We saw that. We knew that was going to happen. We checked the weather, and of course, we saw that was going to happen. But anyways, it's pouring rain outside. We take the Uber to the venue for the after party. We get in line. Line is long, you know what I mean? Because the show just got out, so everybody's making their way over to the after party. It's to be expected. I knew that. It's still pouring rain outside. So anyways, we get in line, right? And we're in line for about half an hour. Alec, I shit you not, we maybe moved 5-6 feet in the pouring rain. 5 or 6 feet. That's it. My shoes, completely soaked. So about half of my squad, they went to a bar nearby, right? Mm-hmm. And so I met them. I was like, all right, you know what? Like, let's go hang out in the bar for a little bit. Like, let's let this line die down. And then we'll try again, right? Anyways, we're in the bar for about 30 to 45 minutes. Okay. We come back out. We get back to the venue. Still, the line is long. And guess what? We're staying in line for another half an hour. We found a broken umbrella on the road and we used that to kind of cover ourselves. Standing in line for half an hour, we still barely moved 10 feet. Like, what the fuck is going on? So this is what I don't understand, man, because like you had the staff of the club also coming out saying, guys, everybody against the wall, like everybody against the wall. But like the line isn't moving at all. Nobody's saying anything about why the line isn't moving. I think that they oversold the venue. But again, zero communication. Like if they had said something like when we can expect to get in or like what the holdup is about, like that would have been so much better than just like letting everybody stand out there in the pouring rain, absolutely soaked to the bones, dude. So that was my encounter with this shit, which got me really pissed off. I ended up just selling my ticket to somebody and just Ubering back home. I didn't even get into the after party. I was like, fuck this.
Dude,
I'm not going to deal with that nonsense. That was crazy. That was just absolutely insane. I've never experienced anything like that before in my life.
I mean, why do you think that happened?
I don't know.
What is it?
I don't know.
I wish I had more insight into why these things happen.
Dude, I think they oversold the venue. I mean, Chris Lake is a huge name. Absolutely huge name. I think they oversold the venue. They're probably at capacity. Keep in mind, a bunch of people in line already had tickets, right?
Right.
So everybody had tickets. And, you know, tickets should basically guarantee that, like, you have a spot within that club. But I guess just, you know, they were waiting for people to leave. And I don't understand why we ended up waiting outside for so long.
Yeah.
I'm never going back to that club, though.
No.
Like, that's the thing.
Yeah.
The experience of like, having to go through that, I don't care who's playing. Okay, maybe if it's Eric Prydz, maybe I'll go. But like, I don't care who's playing, but I will not go back to that club.
It's such a poor experience too. And the fact that the weather was terrible just makes it all the worse. And it just doesn't sound like they were trying to accommodate people or help them out when the line was that long. It just didn't
seem... Staff sucked. Yeah.
That's such a shame. And, you know, I'm just trying to think here, trying to play devil's advocate, to think about. I understand maybe
Damn,
the
I hate
overselling.
When you play devil's advocate.
I know.
You've been doing that more.
I do that all the time. I love it. It's a lot of fun. You should try it.
You're the worst.
No, it's not really devil's advocate because I'm just trying to rationalize why some of these things may happen, right? Where this oversight comes in. And if it was oversold, you know, we talked about that article, right, from Next Mag, which was talking about the DJ fees and the fact that it's hard for venues to figure out how many people need to come into the, you know, into the venue in order to break even, right? Or make some money. So I can understand with such a big person as Chris Lake, the feeling to oversell it. However, because Chris Lake is so big, I don't know if you do need to oversell it. Like, if the concern was that there wouldn't be enough people, I don't know if that's really necessarily valid because Chris Lake is so big. I'm just trying to think, man. I don't know why such a horrible experience would happen. And maybe there's some reason and maybe we're just not privy to it, right? And I wish I knew because I had a similar situation, again, with Chris Lake, by the way.
Chris Lake,
what is
damn
going
you.
On, dude?
He's all like, I want you to stay with me, but how am I supposed to stay with you, Chris Lake?
If I can't get in. If you can't get
exactly.
in. If you can't get in, there's nothing to stay with. So this I had a similar experience for the Black Book block party that happened in September. Fantastic party, by the way. I mean, it was Noizu, DJ Pierre, Chris Lake, Yolanda Be Cool. It was an awesome lineup, right? So this is big. This is a big outdoor venue, kind of how the, what's it called? Sorry, Simon, what's it in Brooklyn? The
Brooklyn Mirage.
Kind of like, thank you. Kind of like the Brooklyn Mirage. It's called the Midway. The line out there was the largest line I have ever seen in my entire life for any type
Damn.
Of venue. Any type of event. Sporting, anything. I'm not kidding you. I talked to some people, it took them about 2.5 hours to get in. It was...
That's craziness,
dude. It was just unbelievable. Thank God the weather was okay, but the line just went on and on and on and on and on. And I just don't understand what happened, why it took so long to get people in. But it's just like, if you got there, you know, basically on time or an hour late, I mean, you weren't getting in until Chris Lake came on, so it would be dark by the time he came on. It was ridiculous.
Right.
I've never seen anything like that. And so again, it's like, whether it's the organization, the communication, whatever it is, it just really isn't acceptable. And I, you know, I know I play as devil's advocate and I have some sympathy, right, with the venues and the promoters or the organizers. But at the end of the day, to screw up that badly and to have that bad of an effect and there's no real way for you to try and mitigate some of the pain that people are feeling, you're gonna have people not want to go again. Like, I don't know if I want to go to the Midway again, to be perfectly honest,
yeah.
after that
yeah.
experience. I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry that ruined it. That just sucks.
It's fine, dude. His set absolutely killed at the show, so it's not like I didn't see him, and the vibes were on point, dude. Everybody was just having a great time at the show. So, you know what, man? It was still a really fantastic night. Just kind of bummed about the after party, but, you know, I'll get over it. It's fine.
Right.
EDM champions, if you guys have any thoughts on this, if you guys have any experiences, tweet at us, man. We want to know. @podbtb. Shoot us an Instagram message @btb.pod. Like, we want to hear your pains. Please, let us know what's up.
All right. Moving onwards, let's get the energy back up. We got the plur coming back, the good vibes. We're going to go off into our what are we listening to section. Which one do you want to start off with, man? I mean, these are two
Dude.
Good talking points here.
Let's go ahead and start off with the Fortet remix.
Yeah, Skrillex, Boys Noize, TY Dolla $ign with Midnight Hour, but at the Fortet remix. I saw this cute... I think we have to give a little bit of context because there was some backstory to this. Was it,
yeah, definitely.
Was it Fortet that did... What's the relationship between Skrillex and Fortet again? There's something there. I'm blanking on
it
right now.
I'm not too sure about what their relationship is, but are you referring to that post that Skrillex had put up on Instagram?
Yes.
Yeah, so basically what Skrillex said here is that Fortet was the first person I had ever played Midnight Hour to way before it was released. So blessed to have a remix from one of my all-time heroes. Is somebody as big as Skrillex, you know, just talking high praises of Fortet and calling him one of his heroes? Dude, that is so nice. Skrillex is such an upstanding dude.
I know, he really is. And you know, this even got, you know, you're doing something in music when you get mentioned in Rolling Stone. I mean, there was a whole write-up in this in the Rolling Stone.
Dude, that is awesome. I didn't know that.
I know. It's a short article, but they mention it on Rolling Stone. Isn't that interesting?
That is really cool. I love that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I thought that was just really neat because that's what I'm saying. I wish I knew more of the context behind why he'd say, you know, he's a hero. Maybe there's some type of relationship there, or he was just a big fan. But it was just so nice of Skrillex to post that, right, and say that publicly. And then I was floored when I saw that Fortet would be remixing it. This is not what this is not the person I thought would be giving this a remix at all. Like, exactly. You know, like that guy, you know, that guy who's up on there on Coachella, you know, playing the tech house techno, and he's just barely moving, going back and forth. Not the candidate I would have thought for Midnight Hour. However, I thought this was an interesting take. I did.
Me too.
I thought this is interesting. Yeah. How do you feel about it?
I like that Fortet got weird on this remix.
Yeah, dude. He definitely got weird. He definitely got weird.
I liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought, you know what, man? The song Midnight Hour itself is, first of all, just a really nice and polished tune from Skrillex and Boys Noize and Ty Dolla $ign. So I thought, like, the track itself, really nicely done. And I thought the track is, like, one of those songs that, like, really anybody from any kind of genre that they are interested in can pick up this song and really enjoy it, because it is a dank song, dude. But what I liked is that Fortet was like, I'm going to take this track, and now I'm going to get weird with it, and I'm going to make something interesting that I feel like really only electronic music enthusiasts or EDM champions would enjoy. You know what I mean? Like, taking a risk and really making something that delivers a powerful impact to folks who are really into EDM. So I thought Fortet, I think he set out on a mission. I thought he really accomplished it, man. This is a dope remix.
Yeah, it was a very interesting, very creative take on it. It got a bit weird, so definitely if you listen to it, just bear that in mind. I think it worked, though. It got weird, but it worked. So I don't necessarily mean that in a bad way. It worked. He pulled it off. Yeah, I thought this was a very, very solid remix. So we'll delve into rating that after we talk about this next song. Dude, Diplo, Side Piece, which is Nitty Gritty and Party Favor, On My Mind. This was a straight through and through house track. I was really surprised when I heard this. I actually really liked it. How about you?
I was not expecting this level of house, dude.
No, neither was I.
They took a nice house with a white picket fence, you know, somewhere in suburbia, Illinois, right? And then they built another house on top of that house, and they built another house on top of that house, and they just kept on building houses, beautiful manicured lawns, white picket fences, maybe a golden retriever. I don't know, dude. This feels like a house song that you come into, you open the door, and there's a nice pot roast, you know, in the oven. Like, it just, this is house, baby. And these guys, Diplo, Side Piece, which is Nitty Gritty and Party Favors collaboration in their house brand, dude, they fucking set it off. On My Mind is a fantastic house song. And I could see really any house enthusiast. I don't care if you like Diplo or if you don't. I don't care if you like Nitty Gritty or Party Favor. I don't care if you like them or not. You are going to like this song if you like house music. Alec, what do you think?
100% agree with that sentiment and that statement there. Yes, this is an awesome house track. I mean, this is like original house here that we're going on there, right? I mean, maybe not as close to the Chicago days, but it is definitely right there and taking on the original essence and soul of house music. I was really shocked by this.
You came home, you opened the door, you were like, honey, I'm home. You know, you loosened up your tie, you know what I mean? And like, you sat down for dinner in just like a nice warm house. This like, I feel like somebody built a nice house when I listened to this song.
100%.
This is just, I just can't stop saying house, because like, this is exactly what this song is.
Yep.
And I love Higher Ground. I really like Diplo's label. I think that he's doing some really fascinating things with it. Diplo's got it.
So tell me this. All right, Mr. Diplo, why are you trying to throw in rap with all these sets then? Why doesn't he just play straight house set? When he was, because didn't you tell me that at the above?
Yeah.
Yeah, right? Like, he had the chance to play a straight through and through house set, but he didn't.
I know, dude. I'm right there with you, man. 100% right there with you. It was really weird. It was just very, very odd. But, you know, his label is just doing great things, and I'm all in on it.
I'm all on it, too. All right, let's get into rating it. Take it away with the rating scale, Samir.
You got it, man. So, guys, here on Beyond the Beats, we have our very own unique rating scale. You know, returning listeners, you guys already know this part, so feel free to skip ahead a little bit. And new listeners, welcome. We have a unique rating scale here on Beyond the Beats, and it's levels 1 through 5. And level 1 is, you know, the lowest level that we usually give to tracks, and level 5 is the highest. So starting from level 1, we call it one listen. It's basically where Alec and I will pick up a piece of music and we'll talk about it, you know, but that's probably going to be the only time that we really listen to this piece. And, you know, we're encouraging you guys to at least give the track one listen. Level two is called background noise, and it's pretty self-explanatory, but, you know, if a song comes on in the background, you're not going to really make much of an effort to change it. You know, you don't really care if it's there. You might be doing other things, and it's whatever. It's just, it's there in the background to keep you company. Level three is what we call turn it up. It's when a song comes on and it propels you to grab the volume knob and crank it up, blast it out loud. And level four is what we call just bought tickets. It's when you hear a piece of music and it propels you to want to, you know, look up the tour dates for an artist that you were listening to and try to find out when they're coming to your city next because you just got to hear them live. You just got to hear more. And level five is speechless. It's when you hear a piece of music and it's just you and the tune, and that's all that matters. Everything else fades away. So just to reiterate real quick, level one is one listen, level two is background noise, level three is turn it up, level four is just bought tickets, and level five is speechless. Alec.
Simu.
I'm very excited to hear your thoughts on Skrillex, Boys Noize, Ty Dolla $ign. They got their song Midnight Hour, but Fortet did a remix. Alec, what'd you think?
I'm just gonna give this a level 3 out of 5. Turn it up. This is a song Ooh. That I want to turn it up. It's not quite at that just bought tickets level for me. Maybe it's a little bit too weird for me to give it that type of rating. However, this is a song that I definitely want to turn up whenever I'm hearing it. It just didn't quite get me, you know, to that level of the just bought tickets.
All right. Interesting. Very, very interesting. Dude, you know what? I'm going to give this one a just bought tickets.
Okay. All right.
Fortet has really cemented it in my mind. And I've listened to Fortet's music before, but this one really cemented it into my mind that, like, Fortet is somebody that you have got to see live. He really does throw in some fantastic creativity into his music, and I'm sure that is also apparent in his sets. And that's what really intrigued me about this song, and that's why it's driving me to want to go see him live.
You know, it's funny. See, I have heard some of his stuff before, and I wouldn't say that this is what would make me want to go see him live. I think that's why I didn't give it a just bought tickets, just for some more context and clarity.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've listened to some of his other tracks as well, and, like, I was like, oh, these are good songs, but, like, this one really just drove it home for me, man.
Yeah. No, I can 100% understand that, but Champions, would love to hear your input on this. Remember, you can tweet at us at podbtb, or we're going to probably put out a post of some sort to see what you thought of this week's songs. Definitely look on our Instagram story at btb.pod to partake in that. Right, Diplo, side piece. On my mind. Samir, what's the rating on your mind right now?
I'll tell you what's on my mind. All right. I'm going to give this a just bought tickets.
Hell
man.
Yeah.
This is some shit easily where, like, if Side Piece comes around to your city, right? Nitty Gritty and Party Favor, or if Diplo brings, like, his Higher Ground tour, you gotta get tickets because he is curating a fantastic house sound. I think he's really, really bringing house music. Like, it's staying true to its roots, I feel like, but it's also, like, he's bringing it out to the forefront to a population of folks who I feel like wouldn't necessarily want to listen to house music if Diplo wasn't curating it. Does that make sense?
No, I think that makes a lot of sense. And I think that's a great point that I didn't think about, is that he's probably bringing more people who wouldn't have been as open to house music now getting into house music. It's interesting because sometimes it's just the person, right? Some people just need the person they really enjoy or admire to do it. And they're probably like, okay, I could fuck with this house stuff. My boy Diplo is playing it. So that's a very good point. So thank you for bringing that up. And just like you, man, I'm going to give it a just bought tickets, level 4 out of 5. Dude, I'm 100% going to go see them whenever they come around, if they come around to San Francisco, and I hope they do, because come on, this is the place where you go to disco.
Yes, God, that was
terrible in hindsight. What an awful pun there.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
Thank you for letting it pass. Yeah, I don't know what else to say. This is just a straight through and through house song. I was shocked that they went this true. I mean, this was a true, true house. It's like, people don't really know house music. I guess it's kind of odd to hear us really hammer home this point. But for people who do know house music, they'll know what we're talking about. I mean, this was a true house track here. No ifs, ands, or buts. But this is just straight house, and we love it for that. So, yeah, man, I think we can wrap this section up.
All right, man. And then we got one last section.
Hell yeah.
Alec, what are we about to get into?
We're about to get into the artists that we're watching section. Man, this is the last one for the season.
I know. It's really weird. It's very odd, isn't it? To be saying that.
It is odd. So I think we'll be back
in a couple of weeks.
Yeah,
too,
totally. You know. Totally. I mean, we're not going away for too long. I mean, we've got a lot of stuff. Keep everyone up to date on, and I think we'll be... You know, I'll be pretty active on the social media channels, just seeing if there are any artists that other people have mentioned, you know, so we get a pipeline built up for the following season. But you know what? Let's not talk about the future because we've got some people to talk about in the present. Who wants to kick it off first?
Nice. Dude, that was a fantastic segue. Yeah, I can go ahead and start us off, man.
Go ahead. I'm excited, man.
One of the things that I love about doing this podcast is the fact that people will share the artists that they are passionate about. So I want to give a shout out to Jake. Dude, I know you've been following the podcast for quite some time and always, always appreciate your support and your kind words. And thank you so much for introducing us to Shuster. I hope I said that right. It's spelled S-H-S-T-R, Shuster. He's got about 5,000 monthly listeners on Spotify. This has been a big year for him. He's got about 5,000 monthly listeners on Spotify, about 2,200 followers on SoundCloud. But dude, there's something about his take on like glitchy bass music that I think is very, very refreshing. Like, it doesn't sound overly processed, Alec, if that makes sense. Like, it sounds like the kind of music that has a lot of depth to it, that has a lot of thought into it, but also at the same time, not overly processed to the point where it sounds like every other glitch song or mid-tempo song or bass song, if that makes sense.
No, it makes total sense.
Very, very excited to be showing you guys this track right here. It's called Artificial Sunset. Guys, check this out. Released just a couple of days ago, only has about 700 plays on SoundCloud, but this track is wonderful, and I'm very, very excited for you guys to hear it. You could hear it building up in the background, but please take a listen to Shuster's song Artificial Sunset. You're gonna love it.
I was very surprised by this song. I wasn't sure what to expect at the beginning, but I really, really liked it as it started getting through. You're so right on this, and thank you again to Jake. Shout out to you for mentioning this guy, because is it a guy? I don't want to assume if it's a guy. Is it a guy or a girl? Do you know?
Yep, Jake. Yep, it's a guy.
No, not Jake.
Oh, sorry about the artist. Jake is definitely a guy. Actually, that's the thing. I don't like Shuster. There's like no details about Shuster at all.
All right, so I don't want to. I don't want to. No, I know. Yeah, Jake.
Sorry, it's I had a brain lapse there.
All right, back to Shuster. Honestly, just an amazing mix. There's some almost future bass elements to it, but you've got melodic, you got mid-tempo mixed in there. Just, it's creating a very unique original sound, and I love in the song how it goes in between some of those influences, right? Does that make any sense to me? You know how it's going in between
totally,
it?
Man.
And it's just there's something about it where I could see this being played at a Porter Robinson DJ set.
Absolutely, absolutely agreed, man. I mean, I'm just seeing big things for Shuster. You know
what
I mean?
Huge things.
Shuster's already teamed up with More Kismet, who, guys,
oh,
by
nice.
The way, that is another name in bass music that you all need to be keeping an eye on for 2020. I actually got a chance to meet More at the Goldie Awards a month or two ago. Such a nice person. Definitely keep an eye. You know, Shuster did a song with More Kismet. Shuster's also starting their own label, Ghost Boy Society. Shuster is self-releasing all these tracks on this label, and I'm really excited to see where Ghost Boy Society goes as well. But, you know, it's just that this artist is anonymous, man. Like, I don't know that many details about Shuster, but I'm very excited to see where Schuster goes next.
I love it, man. I love it. So thank you again for Jake for submitting this person. And Schuster, keep up the awesome fucking work. This is great, great stuff. I listened to it when you sent this over. I listened through some of the other songs, just some fantastic tracks on there. So listeners, please take a look at our full show notes to go and check out some tracks. Other tracks I'd recommend, I actually really like Life of a Machine as well. That was another good track in there, so definitely go and check that out as well. I'll put it in the show notes. But moving onwards to my selection, I tell you what, I've actually had eye on these two. It's a duo from the Netherlands. I've had my eye on these two for quite some time, but I've been saving it just to mention because I tell you what, they are really, really tearing it up in the European drum and bass scene. So, without further ado, this is Black Crowes. You can hear it building up in the background. This is an interesting take on some of the Basshead's favorite artists, Modestep and Virtual Riot. This is the Black Crowes remix, a drum and bass remix for Modestep and Virtual Riot's Nothing. Take a listen.
Like you've introduced me to Black Crowes before.
We talked about this. Well, remember when we were recording back on the Northeast?
Yes.
This was one of my selections. I think one of the first episodes there.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not sure if we're ever going to release those, but maybe some point.
I think we've gotten a lot better on the mic where as compared to those episodes. But dude, this was such a great pick, man. I'm loving D&B. I love drum and bass. I love what Black Crowes is doing. Their originals, their remixes, everything you've sent me from them has just been fantastic, man. Very, very nice pick. How'd you come across Black Crowes?
Well, I originally came across them when we first started recording in Northeast, as I said. So I originally came across them when I was recording in Northeast, as I just said before, when they did their remix of Diplo, French Montana, and Lil Pump's Welcome to the Party. That was an awesome slapper.
Yes, I forgot about that. Yeah.
I was going to feature that again, but I wanted to feature something else this time. I mean, I'll put this in the show notes because that track absolutely slaps. What a fantastic remix. Great hype up. But I mean, these two, I don't know how they're not bigger. They've got 5,700 followers on SoundCloud. They need to have much, much, much more for this because they bring some awesome energy to the drum and bass scene. It's what we call jump up drum and bass, which you can kind of tell just from the sound and the energy of the music. Makes you want to jump up and dance, right? Makes you want to jump up, put your hands up, do all that good stuff.
Totally.
But these guys are absolutely crushing it. I mean, every song that I've seen from them, they have just been killing it. For instance, Fighter, one of their originals they came out with, Equalizer, was fantastic. Also, One Side of Me. I mean, these tracks are just phenomenal. And what I love about this song though, in particular this remix, man, is that it keeps some of the original in there, right? Don't you just love how it starts off with that more melodic drop, something more like the original song, and then they build it up into the drum and bass section? I thought that was genius. Pure, absolute genius. And these guys are going to need...
All the passion.
Right? I know. I mean, they really deserve more attention. And I tell you what, man, I'm really excited to see if they're able to start playing in the US more because of how drum and bass is really starting to take a hold in the US market. I feel like for people, this might be a very interesting take because it's a little bit more gritty, right? A little bit more bassy. And I think a lot of the bass heads out here, in America are going to really like this.
That was wonderful. And I completely concur with what you're saying here. I really think like this type of D&B and Black Crowes is doing a fantastic job of just making the sound more accessible to people who might not be that into D&B. So I think this is just so awesome.
Yeah, this is something for all the bass heads. I know, man. That remix.
Oh my god, that is so funny.
That was a throwback.
Welcome to the party. Yeah, no, great track. Dude, that was fun. I'm getting all emotional right now.
I know. It's our last one for the season. It's weird. It doesn't feel real. Pinch me if it's real. It doesn't feel real.
You know, like obviously you just moved into your new spot. You're setting that up over the course of the next coming weeks. I'll be going on vacation very soon. It's so weird, man. But, you know, I think we're both looking forward to like having some downtime, but also just kind of working on Beyond the Beat stuff more in the background, you know, building that pipeline, networking with folks, trying to get them onto the show. All that fun stuff, man. This has just been such a fantastic journey. I'm really excited to kick off 2020 with a bang as well.
Yes, agreed. And you know, man, I mean, we're just going to come back with, you know, more energy than ever. We've got more features lined up. There's a lot of stuff. I know we've been building up and talk about it for a while, but seriously, just wait. Be patient with us. You know, we're working on a lot of things here. We've got some really, really cool things to come in 2020. 2020 is going to be a big year for us, you know, and I know from all the artists that we have mentioned thus far, it's going to be just as big of a year for them as well. You know, one thing I want to say is just thank you to everybody for, sticking with us. I mean, when Samir and I started this, I don't think we ever thought it would get to the point that it has. Yeah. Right? Am I fair in saying that?
And of course.
And it means the world to us because this is something we wanted to start off as a hobby, but it's slowly turning into something much, much more than that. And genuinely, our only reason for doing this is just to meet people and share our love of electronic music with other people, right? I mean, maybe some type of justification for all the money we spend on this stuff, right? Like there's some, I got to go see this show so I can talk about it on the podcast.
Yeah.
Great excuse to go blow money on the weekend, right? But aside from that, it's just genuinely, we just love, just some of the experiences, the interactions that we've had with some of you guys and girls, it's just been awesome because again, it's all about connection. And that's what has really gotten me into electronic music and why I wanted to start this podcast with Samir, to really show people that electronic music is more than just the music. It's about connection. It's about connecting with other people. And that's the real value of electronic music. And I think that's what people who are not in the scene don't quite understand, that it extends beyond just listening to the sounds and the random sounds that you may hear, right? It's about connecting with the other people, your squad that you go to shows with. And just there is a pure energy and emotion that I think is captured in electronic music that I've heard not really replicated too much in other genres outside of vocals or outside of classical music, right? Where they can really inject some real energy and emotion into it. But electronic music, and it has all these different types of energies and feels. I sound so hippie right now, but swear to God, I mean, everyone who's in the scene knows what I'm talking about here, or at least I hope they do. And just one, you know, I'm rambling on here, but just it really means the world that we are providing something of value and that you're finding it valuable. I really, really want to just hammer that home. Thank you so much for just sticking along with us, and we've got a lot left to come.
I'm like sniffling over here right now.
You're
man.
Good.
That was beautiful, man. That was beautiful. Seriously. I'm just so happy that we're doing this. And you know, it's a lot of work, but the work is just so rewarding, and it's just been an amazing, amazing journey so far, man. And like you already mentioned this, but 2020 is going to be an absolutely massive year for BTB, dude. I'm just like so overwhelmed with like how positive the response has been. I never pictured it like getting this much response, you know?
No, never. This is something we enjoy that feedback because we wanted to touch it, you know, we wanted to fill a gap in this electronic music market that wasn't filled there before, you know, provide something that's just not a news source for people, not just an opinion source for people, but something where we can build a little bit more of a community, right? And help artists and give them a platform. I mean, there's so many different directions that we can go with this podcast. And, you know, Samir and I are definitely having chats about that, and we'll keep everyone updated on it. But the reason why it's so great to have this positive feedback is just because we're so passionate about it, and it's just great to see other people be passionate about it too. Just, it's very simple. I mean, and I can't emphasize that enough. I mean, that's the reason why you know, we do this week in, week out. It's just because of the awesome responses that we get from people. So thank you.
Totally. That was so well put.
I guess we're wrapping the season up with this. So please, we're not going away entirely. We'll be active on social media. You can follow us on Twitter at podbtb or on Instagram. It's btb.pod. I will also put up the links to our Spotify user profile where you can go and see the playlist for all of the music that we mentioned to you throughout the season. And we also have a SoundCloud profile where we've put up some of the artists' sessions and spotlight mixes that we put on there. The session is the mix of the spotlight. You can go check that all out. I'll put that in, but you can just type up Beyond the Beats on SoundCloud and do the same on Spotify. Just look for the user profile. And moreover, if you really want to have like an in-depth conversation with us, if you want to suggest some people more of an official way, or you want to plug yourself, you want us to check out your stuff, go right ahead. You can email connect@beyondthebeats.co. It's not .com. We're working on the .com. It's .co. That's connect at beyondthebeats.co. And that's all from me, man. And I just want to say everyone have a fantastic New Year's. And I can't wait to be back traveling through your ear canals in 2020.
Yes, everybody, happy holidays. Thank you so much for your love and your support. Don't forget to share the show with some friends. Drop a review. You know, we've got a lot of reviews recently, and we genuinely appreciate that. So thank you guys so much. Please continue to send those in. They really help us out. And we will talk to everybody real soon in January 2020. We'll see you guys then. Peace.